Monday, March 12th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 35. Yep, we're 35 years old now. You know, in 5 years, we're going to be able to run for president. And you know what that means. Well, it means there'll be two people in the presidency for the first time. And that'll be a little weird, but I think we'll adjust. Right? Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Hello to everybody out there, in case you thought that we were vanishing into the ether. We were not. We were just really, really, really busy over the last week and a half.
Where does that come from, vanishing into the ether?
I don't know, but you've heard that phrase before, right?
Yeah, vanishing into the ether. Yeah, but it just sounds scary. Like, isn't ether like a gas or something?
Well, that's, yes, but it's also sort of an invisible
like
place that you would vanish into. Right.
Hmm.
You don't want to vanish, because that's why they, like, the ethereal, you know? Like, sometimes I just do that. I just vanish into the ethereal.
All right. Hi!
Hi! So what's going on out there? We want to thank everybody for their kind comments. And just mention, first of all, we want to thank Bernadette and AJ and Drum Intellect. Say, oh, and Red Boy, who sent us an email saying that he loved our comments on American Idol. I have yet to have anybody who, by the way, sent us something about it. In fact, Bernadette's comment was that she was about to chastise us until she realized that we had given the rating slightly higher than the war in Iraq.
Well,
and she's like, okay.
That is the only problem,
that,
right?
You know what I mean?
We've defined our zero and we've defined our 10, right? So it's like, you
but
might
that's good. Like, it,
yeah,
it,
no,
it beats
I,
out war in Iraq.
It helps you give, shape. Yeah, it gives you, it helps you, the listening audience, understand. Although you might think, what? You know, American Idol didn't get a zero, but then you remember
right.
that there are things out there in the world or history that have been worse than American Idol.
Red Boy said that he loved our comments on American Idol, that they should be listed as the disclaimer at the end of the show. Let me tell you, if that happens, it'll be interesting. If anyone really watches it thinking the person will actually be the next star, they're crazy. These people think they can see, but how many actually have any true musical talent?
We didn't mention the fact that we have a friend, well, listening audience knows Catherine, my best friend Catherine.
Yes.
Her boyfriend, I guess, has watched every single season
Which is a
of American Idol.
I question my judgment, her judgment, and my judgment for hanging out
this,
with him.
This, you know, the boyfriend of my friend Catherine, who doesn't watch television, so
right.
tells you a lot about that relationship.
Yeah.
But he reports that this is the best season singers,
and
which we don't understand.
And I report, what does that say?
I mean, we seriously
this
watched
rock
it.
This rock is the best rock ever.
Oh, well, you know? Anyway, so I don't know. So maybe there's people out there that...
No. I think the fact that, you know, as Red Boy says, he enjoys it, like, they watch it like they're in Vegas trying to gamble who'll be the winner and loser and not giving a crap who actually wins. It celebrates mediocrity, but that's fun. And I was just like, yeah, it's fun, but it's not fun that they don't think they're being mediocre. That's the thing that's
yeah,
disturbing.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
The true believers, you know what I mean?
That's the only thing of, like, again, what we said, like, Simon saying, like, that what's her face was better than
yeah
like, who did he say she was better than, like, Bob Dylan or something?
Yeah,
like,
but not
that?
She he said he, right? Didn't he say one of the people was better than Bob Dylan?
No, she,
other people be listening to Bob Dylan. I don't know, I don't care what he does. He's irrelevant. Haven't I made this clear? God, oh man. But we want to thank Red Boy from the redboypodcast.com and everyone else for making comments, and we appreciate that.
All right.
So on the docket for this week, we have three things, as per usual.
That, of course, have everything to do with each other.
Yes, that are totally connected in every respect.
Yes.
We're going to start by doing a special request review, and this came to us. I think it's important to recognize
that. This is a very, very important request.
Because the problem is that, you know, when we do this show, we like to have fun, we like to be entertaining, but every so often something comes up that's very serious.
Yes.
And I think it's important to reflect exactly what the request actually is.
Right.
Greg and Clea, we need your help. My wife, Lindsay, and I are hopeless soda snobs. We've been known to rock, paper, scissors after putting the kids to bed to see who will make the drive to Chick-fil-A for fountain drinks. We go there because the straws are just right. So are the styrofoam cups. Oh, and the fountain is just right, too. A can of Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper just doesn't cut it. While there is no hope for us quitting said habit, we humbly request that you review fountain drinks. Enjoying the show, AJ. Thank you. I think we should just stop the show right there. That's really dramatic. So they'd like us to review fountain drinks, and you know,
I really
we are ready
appreciate
for the task.
That they yeah. that they trust us and look up to us
yes.
and respect our opinion that
I
they
agree.
Think we can handle such a topic.
I agree, and we are prepared. We have done some research over the last couple of weeks, and we are prepared
well,
to comment.
I'd say years. I say
well,
we've,
I mean,
we've been working our lives for this moment, Greg.
That's true.
This moment.
So we're going to be reviewing soda basically. Soda drinks, fountain sodas, things
soda
like
pop.
That. Then we're going to be moving on. As we said, we're very connected to review hockey, which is...
Because usually you watch soda.
I got it. I got
you
the connection.
You drink soda when you're...
Hockey is played on ice.
Right.
You put ice in your soda. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll be here all the week. Please tip your wagers.
Okay.
So we'll be reviewing hockey next. This is actually because I went to a game, a New Jersey Devils game, which is a hockey team, New Jersey Devils, at the Meadowlands recently, and we thought that we have not reviewed hockey as a sport, so
no,
we're going
to
do that. And then finally, we are going to be reviewing a vidcast that we've been meaning to do for a while, and we finally have got our chance this week, and that is the Ask a Ninja vidcast, which is one of our favorites, and it's one that we wanted to bring up here on
all
the show.
All right.
Okay. So let's get started by talking a little bit about soda.
Well, first I want to start by saying that for non-Americans, I don't know if you have this, I'm sure you have this similar situation where in America, it totally depends where you are in America.
Right.
Of what you call it.
They have on the web an actual thing where you can see like the regions about who calls what.
Oh, yeah?
You call it soda.
Pull that up.
Like soda and
pull
pop.
That up.
And
because I, for those in the listening audience that don't know or don't remember this, I grew up in Seattle where we called it pop. And then I came to the East Coast where it's called soda. And it's very interesting that also some people have said when you're in the middle of the country, it's called soda pop.
See, look at this. See, pop is a lot in the north. We're on, by the way, popversussoda.com. I swear to God. There are people, they'll review anything. They'll review anything. If I wanted to review lint, I could find a page on lint. So there's popversussoda.com, and you can see
wow,
that you've got... Pop is like, you know, in the Midwest and then like the northern regions and then up over in Seattle and then some isolated places down in Texas. Nobody knows why.
Okay.
Soda tends, so it looks like, so basically pop looks like it's more Midwest, like a lot
yeah,
around Detroit,
Wisconsin,
the Great Lakes.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Soda is very much northeastern, which makes sense. And then there's a little bit of areas like in California and Florida and then scattered places.
But it doesn't have soda pop.
Like, it's big in Hawaii,
word.
Though. Look, Hawaii is soda, strict up soda.
Yeah.
And then Coke. And do they, for some reason, this is all in the southeast. So for like AJ, like, do you call a Coke? Isn't this
so
lead
in
to
the
confusion?
South, they call it Coke.
Get me a Coke, certainly, and I'll get you a jail term. No, not that kind of Coke. I don't know. And then other, that meaning like,
I wonder
carbonated
if that's soda
beverage.
Pop.
But what I love is like, you know, like Alaska, other like carbonated beverage, like we call it drink in Alaska. We don't really
what?
But it basically is between soda and pop. So you know, so you came from Seattle where it was
I
pop.
Grew up where it was pop.
We called it soda where I grew up. And so it was very strange. People are like, you want some pop? I'm like, the Rice Krispie cereal? They're like, no, like, you know, the drink. I was like, what? And so...
When I came to the East Coast, I had to learn to call it soda and give it to me in a tumbler.
Yeah, and then they...
Which is a glass.
That's right.
And, you know, I guess you could talk about the history of soda pop, Greg, if you insist. But I think one of the important factors that we need to discuss is the difference between soda out of a bottle and a can.
Well, we'll get there.
And a soda out of a fountain. Because I think that's a big, important difference. And I would think that beer drinkers would also have something to say about
right.
that as well.
But I want to... Well, see, we're going to get to that because that's sort of that's the big culminating moment. But I just want to point out that the first marketed soft drinks, which were non-carbonated, appeared in the 17th century. They were made from water and lemon juice that was sweetened with honey. And then the first drinkable man-made glass of carbonated water was created by Dr. Joseph Priestley. And that happened in 1767.
Okay,
and then,
when did they put crack in it, though?
Yeah, no. When did it become... And so they moved on, and then there's a history
of
PepsiCo.
It used to have Coke, didn't
I know
it?
That, yeah.
Okay, so when's that?
I don't... I mean... Well, they
that's
don't.
Important information.
That means I got to go to the history of Coke. Soft drink timeline. Here we go. By the way, we are at, right now we were at inventors.about.com. If you do a search for soda pop in Google, you'll find this. Let's see, root beer, which I'll get to, was mass produced in 1876, and Coca-Cola was invented in 1886, Clea. So that's when it had the original, you know.
In Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia, right. And then Pepsi-Cola was invented in 1898, and they've been battling it out ever since. A couple of notes that I want to make about just sort of sodas generally and where Clea and I stand on these. We have both sort of moved away away from drinking lots of soda in the past years, but we do still drink some. And especially when I go out to a restaurant, I will often get one of two things. My favorite soda is root beer, and I have always loved root beer. I especially love my favorite root beer ever is a gourmet root beer called Virgil's, which you can find online. I think if you do a search for it, that you can ship to them. I actually once got a root beer keg when I was out in Seattle, and that was cool. And I got to carry it with me, and it was a small little keg. And it was like all the fraternity parties that I didn't go to because I wasn't in a fraternity and didn't drink. Now I can feel like I was like that, but without the misogyny. And I mean,
the other soda that Greg loves is ginger ale.
Yes.
And we all love ginger ale. But the problem with ginger ale, and I don't know if this is true in other countries, you go anywhere in America and you order ginger ale, unless you're in like a diner or a restaurant, you're not getting ginger ale. You're getting some kind of flavored soda water, or you're getting the ginger ale concoction, which is a combination of Coke and Sprite.
Which is very disturbing when I found out that this
was the case. No matter how many times Greg orders it and it's awful, he still continues to order ginger ale wherever we go.
Well, because when it's good, it's good. It's like saying, you know, I mean, I get it. What am I going to do?
Yeah, but be a smart ginger ale consumer. Don't get it where you know you're not going to get good ginger ale.
But I don't know. Sometimes I'm going to get good ginger ale.
Become a smart...
Well, how do I become a smart ginger ale consumer? Walk in, I'm like, okay, look, before you see this,
yeah,
what's your ginger ale?
It's like a martini drinker. They know where they're going to get a good martini.
Except in this case, shaken is not, you know.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, root beer is number one, ginger ale is number two. And on the other end of the spectrum, and here's where Clea and I disagree a little bit. Clea likes root beer and likes ginger ale. On the other end of the spectrum is Dr. Pepper. I do not understand why this swill continues to be offered to the U.S. market. It is, and what made it worse was they started out with Dr. Pepper, the worst soda in existence. And then they said, you know what?
God.
It's not bad enough. Why don't we make it Diet Dr. Pepper? So we can, and they actually say for the taste. I'm like, for the, you mean to remove what taste was not there to begin with?
You're getting biased. You're getting a bit biased review here, Greg. Move on from the Dr. Pepper. So we talk about, we all know there's the controversy of Coke versus Pepsi.
Yeah.
But one significant...
Which do you like better, by the way? I like Pepsi.
I'm about to get to the point that an interesting phenomenon I've found fairly consistently is usually people that like Coke don't like Diet Coke, they like Diet Pepsi.
And
people who like Pepsi don't like Diet Pepsi, they like Diet Coke.
And people who like neither one like Diet Sprite.
Exactly.
And those are the people that we've got in Alaska who call things other.
So that's an interesting phenomenon I've found in some instances. It doesn't always ring true, but sometimes. I am a Pepsi person.
Although neither one of us loves cola that much. I mean,
I don't
drink a lot of it, but
I don't drink usually soda that has sugar in it. I usually do diet simply because I'm just not a big sweet person unless it's that time of month. So I usually don't like to get regular Pepsi or regular Coke. Mm. But I have to say, if I'm going to drink Coke or Pepsi or Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi,
Pepsi's better.
There's nothing better than it in a big glass of ice. I don't like it out of the can. I don't like it out of the bottle. I don't like it straight out of the fountain.
Yeah.
It needs to have ice.
It can
for
be.
I don't know what it is.
It can be really refreshing. I think in some cases, like limited cases like that. Also, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this too, but like real sodas. Like I was just looking at the timeline and it said ginger ale. Like the original ginger ale was created in 1851.
Yeah, like
I like
real
the original
you don't
kind
like
of
real ginger ale.
No, like I like the original root beers and birch beers and sarsaparillas and stuff. That's not bad. But the original ginger ale is terrible. I just can't stand it. I think it's because it's not sweet enough, and I need a little bit more sugar, the harsh ginger
flavor.
Yeah. So, as far as like bottles versus the fountain thing, which is what you know, one of the things that they had suggested to us, the problem to me is not what it's coming from. The problem is what it's going into. Because in a lot of cases, and Chick-fil-A is a good example. I can comment to this because I used to work in a mall where they had a Chick-fil-A. The problem with Chick-fil-A is that they always put it in those styrofoam cups that I don't think captures the taste of these things perfectly. Like, ideal is glass, second is plastic, then you get to the paper, and then maybe styrofoam. That's the problem, is that the fountain drinks often are going into styrofoam or paper.
You don't like the styrofoam.
Which are the bottom, not as much. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's just not one of my favorite things.
I don't have a problem with styrofoam.
Yeah?
No. I prefer it, actually, to that plasticky paper that most of them
If it's in plasticky paper for too long, I agree with you, because it starts getting the taste of the plasticky paper.
Right.
But I think that otherwise, the plasticky paper actually is a little bit more of a pure taste to it. But what about the level of carbonation? Do you find that fountain sodas have more carbonation?
Well, I mean, that's the whole reason why you go or you don't go for the fountain is that it's being mixed right then.
Right.
While in the bottle, it's pre-mixed, or in the can, it's pre-mixed. the fountain, they have the carbonated, and then they have the syrup that they're adding as it's coming out. So some people like it, and if you, you have to have a good place, though. Sometimes, you know, they're at the end of the barrel, or, you know, crappy person.
And that's the worst. When you're psyched up to get, like, raspberry iced tea, or you're, like, heading in for some... And I did that. This happened to me the other day, and I pressed it, and I just get water. I was like, you know what? This is wrong, man. That's just wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, I really don't think you needed to kick over the machine.
Well, I mean, I wanted to make a statement.
You made one. Yeah, I mean, there's so many other sodas that we haven't even got into. But, like, for me, I'm not a much of a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do drink beer, I really prefer it on tap.
Not
out of a bottle,
okay.
No. And I don't know why that is. I'm sure real beer drinkers would be able to tell me why. That something in the pouring process makes the way it comes out in the glass better. So I don't know if that's the same for fountain. I don't like things when they're really, really carbonated. And that's probably why I like it with ice, because it probably eases off the carbonation.
Probably. Well, you know, our friend Russ, who's been a guest reviewer in this show before, hates carbonation with every part of his being. Can't stand it. He would never drink anything that's carbonated. Whereas I'm not really, you know, I'm not in that mode.
Yeah. I'm just not much of a soda drinker, but... I treat myself every once in a while. Greg, he could be pretty ridiculous. I remember we used to go to Friendly's.
I don't drink this.
I remember we used to go to Friendly's, and we'd order ice cream sundae, and then you'd order a root beer.
Yes, that occasionally happened. But
like,
I don't drink soda very much anymore.
Like, you went to Wendy's the other day, and you got an orange drink and a large frosty.
No, that's not true. I got a bottle of water and a frosty.
No, the other one before that trip.
Oh.
You did that.
Most of the time, I have stayed away from soda. I don't drink soda very much anymore. But when I do drink it, I admit that I like those things. And, I mean, as far as the fountain versus the bottling debate, I don't know. That's my problem still comes back to what it's being put into for the most part. Mm-hmm. And also, Clea's right. It's so variable. It's almost like if you, like, go to a restaurant and, you know, you're like, I want to go to an Italian restaurant. Some Italian restaurants are going to be good. Some are going to be bad. If you go to a McDonald's, you know exactly what you're getting. But the problem is, you know exactly what you're getting. And so, you know, it's fatty
always,
and it's all these
even,
other things with McDonald's.
Even, again, you might get some idiot that doesn't know how to put the syrup right in the thing.
No, but I'm not... 90%
but it sounds
of the time,
like
though.
These guys know the place that they're going to. I think that soda can be a good way to get water. You have to be careful with the carbonation because it can make you retain water.
Right. And of course, it's ridiculous. Everybody knows it's ridiculously overpriced. It costs them like 3 cents to produce the syrup and you're paying like $3.
The main thing I really have to caution people around soda is the sugar. Caffeine levels, yeah, but it's pretty equivalent in many instances to coffee and tea. It's the sugar that you really need to watch.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend people watching their sugar intake. And if you don't like or are against sugar substitutes, then that would mean you can't do diet either. So you just need to be careful with the sugar intake.
Yeah, and that's the key thing is moderation in these cases.
Yeah.
But you also like root beer floats, by the way.
I love root beer, and I love ginger ale. We both have the same similar favorites.
Except you somehow can stomach Dr. Pepper. Which is an abomination and anathema on mankind.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Please visit my website, hatedrpepper.com. No, I'm just kidding. So I guess what we would basically say is our overall feeling would be if you have a place that you like, it's worth continuing to go to that place. If you feel comfortable with, you know, the specific sodas that you've chosen, we think that's fine.
Yeah. I think the only problem is it's not like you can buy soda in huge bulk because unless you drink it nonstop or have like a huge family, it's gonna go bad.
Like the keg thing?
Yeah.
Where I had gotten this keg, which I really thought was a great idea because I was so excited. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, there's a lot of root beer, a keg of root beer. And I'm like carrying it. And I was out in Seattle with Clea. So we're carrying it from place to place. Like, wouldn't you like another 24-ounce glass of root beer? There's only 16 more of these.
I mean, some people think it works when you get like the 2-liter of soda. When you're done with it, you squeeze the air out and then tighten the bottle.
Yeah.
That for some people that helps keep it carbonated. But for some, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
My boss has a 2-liter of Coke that's been sitting in her office ever since I started.
Oh, that's quality right there.
And that's... We're pushing a year now.
You could now take paint off with that. That would be pretty sweet.
Oh, did anyone ever do that experiment?
With the penny?
In middle school? Yeah, with the penny and Coke?
It's pretty scary.
It's a standard American...
It's acidic. I mean, it is acidic and you can't overdo it. But so I guess our review of soda in general would be, assuming that you use it in moderation, 8?
What?
7?
What?
9?
What?
What? Wait a minute.
What?
I'm just going to keep at 4? What? 6? No, it's a null set.
I mean, I like soda, but, you know, we got to put it in perspective as a healthy drink, and it's good for you, satisfying. I'd give it a 5.
Wow, that's
a little
rough.
I was going to give it a 5.
No, you got to give it a 6, man. Root beer, the root beer float, the memories of childhood.
Yeah, I know. Ginger ale making you feel good.
Absolutely.
On a sick day.
That's right. If you're feeling sick, ginger ale really helps your stomach. Plus, it's an alternative to alcohol all the time. 6, man.
All right, I'll give it a 7.
All right, good job. Oh, wow. I'm like, 6. You're like, you're right, and you've convinced me more so. 7.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so a 7 out of 10 for soda drinks.
Be careful,
drinks.
Though, because my Catherine, you know, used to be addicted to Diet Coke, and yeah. Her mother, it went and ran in the family.
Yeah, so be careful
be
about
careful.
That.
Be careful. It can be
but
a serious
to,
addiction.
Thanks to AJ and the people down there for their request, and if anyone else has a review that you'd like us to do, please let us know, and we'll be happy to try. Next step will be like, I don't know, Gatorade drinks, power drinks, ice cream.
Or that vitamin water.
Vitamin water, yeah. That'll be the next one, too.
All right.
So. All right.
Hockey.
Right, so next
Speaking
on the
of
list.
Speaking of teeth rotting out of your mouth, instead, we will, they
give you
get
hockey
smashed out of your mouth.
you can go to their website at www.nhl.com, and I'm sure that this is going to excite our Canadian listeners to know.
Woo!
Because in Canada, they are serious about this sport. Let me tell you, I was up for a conference in Toronto a few years ago, and this was right during the time, like, the Super Bowl of football was going on and all this other stuff, and you turn it on like, and in the minor league, you know, Toronto system today, you know, John Gianta scored one goal and da-da-da. I was like, what? they are crazy about hockey up in Canada. But the truth is that hockey has been around for a very long time, and it started originally with, I believe, it was the original either 6 or 7 teams, I want to say. It was very small to begin with, and then gradually expanded. In fact, you could make the argument that it's expanded too much. For example, how Atlanta became a hotbed for hockey, or, you know, Dallas is, you know, beyond me. But everyone basically knows what this is. Hockey is a game where you have 5 people on each side. You've got 4. You've got 3 forwards, basically, and then 2 defensemen. And then you've got 1 goalie for each side that defends their actual net. Your job is to take the puck down the ice and basically put this puck, which is a small circular black object, into the net behind the goalie. If you do, you score a goal. Team with the most goals wins the game.
How does this compare to soccer? Or European football?
Well, it's very similar in the sense that the scoring often is, and they've made a lot of adjustments to sort of pick up the scoring a little bit. And so there's a lot of that. It's also something that I think translates much better to live watching than to TV. They've tried a bunch of different things to make hockey interesting on TV, and it's never worked all that well. You know, they tried something where they actually put a little highlight, like a little blue circle around the puck,
right,
so that you could actually see it.
But it just moves so fast.
It just moves so fast, and it's the kind of thing when you're actually watching it, it's really interesting to see. Because
and the environment and the energy in the air.
The environment, the energy, and the movement. These guys are unbelievable athletes. They're able to go up and down the and they're able to, you know, do these 100-mile-an-hour slap shots with their sticks.
Right.
You know, from the blue line and hit, you know, just pinpoint accuracy into the net. So they're really amazing athletes. They're also not always the brightest bulbs in the box, to be perfectly honest. A guy, in fact, was just suspended a couple days ago. A guy had checked him into the boards, which, for those of you who don't know hockey, it basically means he was skating along. Guy came up and he had the puck. And just before he got rid of the puck, the other guy hit him and hit him into the side of the arena, which are called the boards. Mm-hmm. Totally legal hit. Guy gets up from this, looking a little bit dazed, takes his stick and drives it into the guy's face. Now, the guy was very lucky because he only had stitches, but basically, if he had done later, he could have broken the guy's neck. So the NHL actually suspended the guy who had, you know, attacked the guy with the stick, suspended him for all of the regular season and all of the playoffs. And if the Islanders, the team that he plays for, don't get into the playoffs, he has to be suspended like 10 games into next season, too. So it was by far the biggest suspension they'd ever handed out. And it should be that way because, I mean, it was basically assault. Like the guy, the DA of the area where it happened in Long Island was actually talking about, I don't think they decided to do it, but they were thinking about assault charges, and that has happened before where criminal charges get leveled against somebody for doing it. So hockey can be a very rough game too.
And I have to say that's one of the reasons why I have difficulty watching it, is that it just seems a lot of it loses sight of the sport of it and just becomes... It just becomes, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's the sport of boxing. I guess if that's a sport, then this is a combination of soccer and boxing. I just, for me, though, it is boxing. At least we understand kind of the rules of it. And I don't know. Even boxing, I think, can get out of control. And I think it has problems with it as a sport as well.
A lot of problems.
And I see that here as well. I just think so often we lose track of the sport of it and the game. It's like it's a given that part of the game is you have to do these things and all these awful things happen. And it's a constant thing that players have to be taken out and go in the box because they did something wrong.
And everything.
It's just I just find it really frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not totally necessary. I mean, the NHL used to have a lot of fighting that went on, and then they tried to do a lot of work to sort of, you know, remove that from the game, which NHL purists don't like, but I don't care. I think it's much more interesting. I think the best hockey to watch, honestly, is Olympic hockey.
I was actually about to say that.
It's wider rinks. The players don't hit each other very much. It's just a lot of speed. And when hockey's at its best in the playoffs, even in the NHL, it's really fun to watch because the speed is incredible, the grace, you know, the accuracy of the passing and all that stuff. And there is a real amazing energy to that, which is important as well.
Right. That's actually what I was going to say. I mean, one of the live games I saw was Goodwill Games back in, I don't know when, it was Russia versus America. And when you have the Olympics, Goodwill Games, that kind of stuff, you don't have that aspect. And so you can kind of just focus on the game in and of itself.
Right.
And it has its own tension because,
well,
I mean, it's just
case,
so fast. And, well, but even, I
do
mean,
you
yeah.
believe in miracles? I mean, it's also the night. There's that tension. Hi, we defeated the government somehow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it is quite quick and they are quite amazing athletes. But yeah, and not only that, but then it translates into the audience. It's a little bit like soccer and like that. You're like, do I want to go to a soccer game where I could possibly be crushed? It's kind of the same thing with hockey. You know, do I want to go to the soccer game where maybe my husband will be killed because some other guy's gets really angry and thinks he's...
It's a good point.
Know.
I mean, it does attract a group of people that tend to like sort of tougher... I don't want to say... It's a more blue-collar audience, I think, and it tends to be the sort of thing where it's sort of a... It's a lunch pail thing. You know, it's a grinded-out type of sport at times. It's a, you know, fighting type of sport. But I think they've also tried to make adjustments where they've started appealing to a sort of broader kind of audience. And to be perfectly honest, any kind of sporting event that you go to where alcohol is involved, there is the potential. I mean, I've been to Yankee Stadium a few times, as people know. I've reviewed that on here. And I mean, and even at Fenway Park, you know, the Boston Red Sox, my favorite baseball team, you know, if people are drinking, it can get a little nasty. And that has sometimes happened in the hockey environment somewhat
as
well.
When's the last someone died?
Well, somebody died actually in a hockey game, but that had nothing to do with a fight.
That's what I'm
saying.
That
was because of the puck.
Well,
is that what you're
talking
about?
No.
The puck flew into the crowd and hit somebody, and it was completely accidental and tragic and all this kind of stuff. And they've now put all these other extra measures in place. But I don't know. I mean, nobody that I know of has ever... There have been lots of injuries in hockey. I don't think, as I remember, anybody has died from hockey. But that's partially
there was
because...
maybe it was a
People have been paralyzed in football games, you know? I mean, there you have rough hits and you have, you know, things like that.
No, I mean audience members.
Oh, audience members. No. No one's been killed.
There was that guy that killed the other guy, but I think it might
have
been...
that wasn't pros. That was because he was watching his kid and he lost his mind. I mean, that's another problem. That's the Little League mentality thing, which is something else we can review in
all
the future.
Right.
But
well, anyway,
I mean,
so,
I think it's hard to say. It's a good live event. I don't think it's as good a TV event. I think the regular season is diminished by the fact that, you know, the big joke is everybody makes it. I mean, it's not true, but a lot of teams make it. I think that it's overexpanded. It's ridiculous to have hockey in Atlanta and places like that. But having said that, you know, when it's at its best, hockey is really good. And I grew up in Hartford, the Hartford Whalers too. Yeah.
Because
I was a kid rooting for the Hartford Whalers, and that was a big
team. In New England, when, you know, the local ice ponds freeze over, you'll see some hockey nets up, and that's nice.
Yep, no doubt. And if you're living in the Northeast or in Canada, obviously it was a big deal. Yeah, and the Whalers were great, man. Then they left, and
the rest
was never
history.
The same. That's right. So what do you want to say for ratings?
So you saw the Devils? Is that what you...
Yeah, I saw the Devils at the Meadowlands about a week and a half ago. I saw them get crushed by the Bruins. And everyone's like, oh, well, you love Boston. I was like, yes. But see, the Bruins used to beat the living heck out of the Hartford Whalers. So I can't be a Bruins fan. I just can't. So that wasn't, you know... I don't know.
Okay,
that
so you were going for the Devils.
I was going for the Devils, I guess, but
you said played who play well, right?
Well, the Devils are a very good team. Yeah, they just didn't play well that night. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I don't know, for hockey in general.
I'd say a five.
I'd say a five or a six. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but I think when it's that, you have to include Olympic hockey in that, and I think if you put it all together, it's probably a 6 out of 10. I think
I'd say a five. I mean, I think that how long has hockey been around?
Oh, I mean, decades.
Yeah, and it's not making it against a lot of these other sports, and I think there's reasons for that.
Well, it's also, you could argue it's because it's not, just because it's not immediately accessible to people doesn't mean that there isn't a certain... I mean, look, soccer hasn't made it in America, and yet soccer is still a big thing.
Yeah, okay, six.
All right, so a 6 out of 10 for hockey. Okay, last on the docket for tonight is the Ask a Ninja vidcast, and you can find this at www.askaninja.com, askaninja.com.
I have heard some pretty memorable last words, because there's some creatures, you just can't stop them from talking when they're going out. Like a vampire, they are yappy. I mean, you can chop off their head, and they will just keep a yapping away. I remember when I bit this queen's neck, and I remember when I bit Napoleon's neck, and I remember when I bit Nicole Kim. Yes, we get it. You like chewing on people's necks. What else do you have? I don't know if vampires are actually immortal, but my goodness, it feels like it if you are ever trying to kill one, because you're just like, get on with it. Banshees, they are good to kill because they have to make up a nice song about you before they leave this world. They may be demonic demons of death, but I am a sucker for an Irish accent. Pixies, I do not like, because right before a pixie dies, they give you a really hard brain teaser, and they don't tell you the answer. They're like, a bicycle is found in a puddle, and a man is lying dead, and he only has one leg and a red hat on. How did this happen? And they disappear. Even if you figure it out, you don't know if it's right, because there's no one there to answer it. It just drives you crazy. Most memorable is really hard, because I have a pretty good memory. I did kill the Salamonster once, which is a salamander that's about the size of a Humvee limousine. The flaming skin, and they spit chaos. You get a little drop of it on you, and your whole life becomes bedlam. Anyway, so I'm fighting this Salamonster, and I pulled off his skin, and I threw him into a meat locker, and he's freezing to death right in there. But as he's freezing to death, he said, and it really hit me, man. That's what life's about.
And they're up to about 37.
They're
right?
up to about 37, episode 37.
They've been going along. They started right after we started, didn't we?
Yep,
didn't
they did. And they actually talked to us, and then they split. No, I'm just kidding. No. They've been doing extremely well. And the basic premise, for those of you who haven't seen it, is there's a they have two basically comedy guys, and one of the comics dresses in a ninja outfit and then does these comments. He gets people send him questions, and he answers the questions in sort of a ninja-like way. But it's very funny. Like, he did a review of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, hilarious.
Which was just hilarious.
It's like, if for those heard our Homestar Runner.
A little bit stronger.
Strong Bad. I mean, I'm sure they stole part of the concept from that. It's very much you ask a question and they semi make fun of you, semi make fun of the question, but also answer the question from a ninja perspective. And it's quite good. I mean, some of the earlier ones were a little corny, and every once in a while they'll be a little corny.
A little bit.
But for the most part, it's quite good, and you get a good bang for your buck. There's a few things that are kind of annoying, like the intro. It's kind of funny, but a little annoying. And all of the paraphernalia now of the little addition for the store, the ninja store and stuff like that, it's kind of annoying. And that's it.
Yeah, which
it's
is
tagged
a bit
on at the end of every episode. It's gotten a little annoying.
But, you know, I mean, and they've actually had a big discussion about, like, MySpace censoring what you're allowed to embed on their site and all this kind of stuff. They've actually released a DVD,
right,
which is apparently they're going to be signing, and which is getting very popular. And they have something like, I don't know, 500,000 people or something download each episode, which is really what we'd like. If they could send 500,000,
right, we'll
that would be great. Just a keen 50,000 off the top. That would be, that'd be good.
Yeah, we could handle that. and another issue is they don't come out every week. You know, they kind of started that way, but
they've
now
gotten better, though, about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's sometimes
better.
There's a little delay.
Yep.
But every once in a while, they'll have a cartoon version. They call it, is it Duke?
Well, Duke Tunes is not part of the same site, but they, like, do crossovers. So sometimes they'll interview people and things like that. Yeah. And they answer questions. The thing about it is that it's just very clever. You know, like, they'll talk, like, one of them asks this question about clubs, like, what do ninjas think of clubs? And obviously he's thinking about dance clubs, and immediately the ninja's just sort of like, well, when you're making a club, it depends on whether you want to beat a hobgoblin or a harpy, and then all of a sudden it's this big thing about designing clubs and stuff like that. And it's very sort of clever, hip, you know, sort of cultural, pop cultural references all over the place, things like that. They're out of LA, and you can sort of see that that's the case. It's also very well edited, I should say, really well edited, because part of what's funny is how the camera angles work.
Yeah.
When he chooses to cut things in and cut things out, that's part of what makes it amusing. And these are two guys that just started. They were actually inspired, you know, by the Andy Samberg video on Saturday Night Live, the one about the Chronicles of Narnia. And they just started recording it, and then all of a sudden, this became this phenomenon about AskAninja.com.
You can kind of see their costume become more sophisticated over the time.
Yes.
Each of them are what, about 5 minutes?
Anywhere
five
between
to ten.
Five. No, less than ten. Normally, it's right around five. Maybe it's a little bit less. Maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing better about that. They're also big on iTunes. You can download them directly and watch them on your iPod videos, if any of you have your video iPods out there, so you can do that as well.
Yep.
But, you know, anything that involves clever, thoughtful comedy. I know some people don't like the whole ninja thing because it's like it's overdone. But this particular version of the ninja thing is like my one. I don't want to have lots of other things about ninjas.
What was the other ninja one?
This one's pretty funny.
The website of
Oh, well, the guy tried to piggyback off it. Is that the one you're talking about?
It came out before this.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Oh, geez. It was the one about, this is so great, I want to jump up and kick my mom in the face.
Yeah, remember, I forgot. That's random. That's the only one thing we remember from it. But what? It was like a ninja website. I don't remember, website. Like
ninjasaregreat.com or ninjas are awesome.
Something like that. Yeah.
It was very funny. Yeah, it was pretty funny. But it just didn't have the staying power that this one has.
Yeah.
So, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I would say that this is up in the sort of 8, 9 range for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess probably an 8 because 8. It's not entirely consistent, but definitely check it out. You can go to askaninja.com, and you'll also notice, by the way, that Snowman Hunters, which we reviewed on our show a few shows back, continually posts under every Ask a Ninja thing.
Yeah.
This reminds us of blah, 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 like Snowman Hunters. I'm like, ah, that's good marketing, gentlemen. Good job there. So you can find some of our friends over there as well. So,
yeah.
So check it out. An 8 out of 10 for Ask a Ninja. All right. Well, that is going to wrap up another episode of Upon Further Review. We appreciate you guys bearing with us. We will have one on time next week, we promise, for UFR 36. And again, if you have podcasts you would like us to review or anything else,
anything
like soda, that you'd like us to review, please submit that stuff to us. We love it. Thank you to AJ. Thank you to Red Boy and Bernadette and DI and everybody else who contributed and commented, as always. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See ya.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!